This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Nick Giannino, sports editor, Gloucester Times. And Nick, welcome. Welcome back to the North Shore and, of course, to the website here.
Thank you, Bill, and happy Father's Day to you.
Oh, thanks so much. As we talk on Sunday, Father's Day, Nick back, arriving back on the North Shore in the Boston area on, yesterday, right? Saturday, from after Friday night's horrible game against the Dallas Mavericks. 38-point loss, Nick. Let's just begin there. It wasn't as if it was game six and a 38-point loss. It was game five, and it's the first loss for them in the series. They're up 3-1. But what was the mood like with the team?
Right. Well, going into it, I think they were pretty loose, you know, confident, ready to get the job done, but it did not translate onto the court. Right from the beginning, as you know, I'm sure everyone listening watched, they just didn't have it. They were being out-hustled. Even Joe Mazzulla and some of the guys talked afterwards about how Dallas just came in with more effort. I mean, the Mavericks had nothing to lose, right? Down 3-0, playing at home. So it was just kind of a combination of a lot of different things. And you haven't really seen the Celtics have losses like this season. I mean, there's been a couple of them. The game two loss in the second round to Cleveland was kind of a blowout, and I know they had a blowout loss to Milwaukee in the regular season, but both of those times they've responded and come back and won the next game by double digits. So they're more than capable of doing that. I think this was kind of one of those games where they threw in the towel early, right? It was a 26-point game at halftime, and Mazzulla pulled the starters before the third quarter was even over. So they look at it like they were up. They're still up 3-1. They're coming back home. The Garden's going to be rowdy on Monday night, and they'll have another chance to close it out there. I don't think their confidence has wavered.
No, and I get that. You watched that first quarter, Nick, and I was coming in, and so I was joining the game, kind of bouncing in, and I think I just got in, and I had been doing stuff. So I'm kind of half watching the first three or four minutes of the quarter. But what I was noticing is they weren't getting any good looks, offensive looks, and they were just it just wasn't right. It didn't feel good. And what happened was it stayed that way for the entire game. There was no run. There was no comeback. There was no run or at all for the Celts in that game four, right.
Yeah. No, there wasn't. And, they started slow in game three in Dallas too. You know, Dallas came out hot and Boston was able to recover, but that was not the case in game four. I think, like you said, Dallas really was taking it to him defensively, and then on the other end, it seemed like Boston had no resistance in the paint. I mean, both Luka and Kyrie were getting in there, getting layups pretty easily. So it was just a bad game. You know, chalk it up to a bad game. It happens in the course of a long season. They've played 100 games now, and they've only lost two in a row four times, I believe it is. So, they know how to bounce back, and it's unfortunate the timing of it where they had a chance to close things out, but it's hard to sweep teams, especially at this stage in the playoffs. It's only been done 9 times in the history of the league, an NBA Finals sweep. So they're still in good position. It stinks. You know, that would have been nice to close it out with a sweep and kind of supplant their status as an all-time great team. But a win Monday and all will be forgiven.
Yeah, but, you know, the only other thing, though, Nick, that I look at is how does a team like Dallas come out and play that incredibly, you know, powerfully defensively? And I'm not, you're right. They did an all right job game three. They came out on fire in game three as well. But it's just when you watch that game, you say, wow, how do the Celtics answer that intensity that the Mavericks put out on game four? You know, even if the series does move to Boston. But I totally agree with you. It looks like, you know, the Celtics can probably wrap it up on Monday night.
Yeah, and even if they don't, they're looking at it as they're still in the driver's seat regardless. Obviously, you don't want to go back to Dallas. That's going to make fans very anxious. And you start saying, man, can this team be the first team to ever do it? So obviously, you want to get the job done in Boston on Monday. But I think, like I said, they have the right approach. Chalk it up to a disappointing game, a bad performance, and nothing that Dallas did was different. I think they just came out with better energy. You know, these teams know each other now. There's no more secrets between them. I don't think anything the Mavericks do is going to really surprise the Celtics at this point. They just were the better team in Game 4.
Well, I'm not going to get the panic button out yet, but if they lose on Monday night, I'll have to open up the drawer and find the panic button. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are on the same page with that for sure.
Nick, again, I don't want to hold you too long, but what, you know, you're writing stuff in the paper. What do you got coming in on Monday's paper? Papers, I should say, from you know, whether it be the Eagle Tribune, Newburyport, Gloucester Times, Salem News. What are you going to be featuring Monday?
Yeah, so I just wrote a column. They had the media day today, you know, as they have every game, every off day before the next game in this finals, and you know, got a chance to hear from all the players. I wasn't in Boston for that, but I followed along online. And you know, like I said, I think they're excited to come back to Boston. They're excited about the opportunity and you know, looking to close this thing out. But I just wrote about how this can really go two ways, right? You can they can lose. Dallas can kind of ride this wave, ride this momentum, and come up with another big time performance on the road and change the course of the series, so to speak. Or Boston can respond like they have done all season and come back out and kind of take it to them and seal that banner 18 victory. So I lean towards the latter. I think Boston's going to come ready to play. And of course, you know, before we spoke in Game 4, I thought they were going to close it out. So I don't want to make too many predictions here, but I do think that Boston is going to look a lot better at home on Monday night. And then there's the thing with the fans. I think a lot of the diehard Celtics fans are coming up with all sorts of reasons why it's kind of meant to be that they'll close it out in Game 5. You know, you look at the date, 6-17, June 17th. That's the same date that they sealed the 2008 championship victory in. That 2008 team also had a blowout loss to the Lakers in that series before coming back to clinch it at home. There's also one I really like from Sean Grandi, the Celtics radio broadcaster there. He said that Boston has had, you know, lost some legends in recent years. And Bill Russell, he was number 6. John Havlicek, he was number 17. And Sam Jones, number 24. 6-17-24. So just some fun things like that. I think, you know, fans are kind of looking at it like it's a destiny fulfilled if they, they close it out at home, and not to mention the area code of Boston, 617, same date. So there's a lot of different tidbits, fun things like that that people are looking at, like, oh, you know, this is meant to be, kind of thing. Oh. So we'll see.
Well, I know it is funny when we were talking before Game 4. I was with you that they could very likely just close it out in 4 games. But I'm also in my head, I'm thinking, I really do think there's some kind of psychological thing I'm sure that it wasn't a part of their thinking. I get it, but to come back home and win it at home, you know, there's just something to that, I think, and it's hard to explain. It's obviously hard to verify, but there it happened, right? It did happen, and it happened profoundly, I guess, in Game 4. But so they're back home for Game 5 Monday.
Yeah, like you said, I think too. Once they fell behind early, they kind of took their foot on the gas and said, "All right, well, Dallas got this one," you know. And not that that's a mindset you should have, but that's kind of how it felt, that they just didn't have it that game, and it went south quick, and okay, let's rest up and get ready to go back home and close it out.
Yeah, I was thinking late in that first half, I said, geez, or in the second quarter, I'm thinking, if the Celts get it down to 10 at the half, they'll be in business, and then they're right down by 30. You know?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah,
I forgot what they were down.
Close. I think it got to 48 points at one point.
Oh, man.
It was just, you know, it was tough to watch, but hopefully they bounce back. Like,
oh, I know. I do have one. You've done features on the North Shore connections. That's, you know, that's one of the things you talked about, you know, doing. Can you give our listeners one highlight of a North Shore connection in Dallas when you were out there?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I did write a story of a lot of, you know, different fans that have grown up on the North Shore and relocated to the Dallas area and remain strong Celtics fans. And probably my favorite one was a family from Nahant, who later lived in Salem as well. But the father had went to Dallas for law school, and then they moved back to Salem, and then now they, you know, moved back to Dallas for good and have been there since, I think, 2007. But I thought it was cool, you know, that he raised his kids. His kids have only known Dallas. They haven't lived on the North Shore. And they got a son that's 13 and a daughter that was 9. And he's raised them as Celtics fans, and they're truly diehard fans. It was cool hearing the son's perspective on, you know, he goes to Marcus Smart camps when he hosts those camps out in Dallas, and he'll be repping the Celtics gear, and he says he's the only one that's sporting Celtics gear in the city. Everyone else at those camps has Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic jerseys on. And then on top of that, he has a group chat with his friends, and they go back and forth, and he said he's been kicked off that group chat many times for backing up the Celtics, and just that back and forth was pretty funny. So there are Celtics fans out in Dallas. I thought Game 4 there was certainly it was more prominent with the green in the stands for whatever reason compared to Game 3. But they're there. They're loud and proud. And I will say the Dallas people were very nice, you know, very cordial, and they support their teams, but they respect that you support your team and so on. So that was cool. We were able to find some North Shore-based fans that are now living out there and still repping the green.
Well, all those folks wearing the green on for Game 4 must have been able to, hopefully they were able to slink out of the arena early that night to avoid trouble.
Yeah, I hope so too. I don't know if there was any scuffles or anything. I didn't see too much going on.
Well, just the harassment alone, just the verbal harassment alone would be enough, I think. Yeah. All right, Nick. Great talking with you. Great to have you back safely here on the North Shore, and we'll be watching your coverage in Monday's paper, and of course later on in the week as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, Nick Giannino with us, sports editor, Gloucester Times, covering the Celtics. I'm Bill Newell on MSONewsSports.com.